The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, everybody? I'm Anthony Cosenza with the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast and CincyJungle.com. We're coming at you with the water cooler chat. You may not like the name, whatever, but you know the deal at this point. We virtually get together. We go over some headlines about the Cincinnati Bengals, about the AFC North, and about some things going on around the NFL. And we talk. And we talk about all of those headlines. We talk about what's going on with the team. And it is a big week ahead because the Cincinnati Bengals and every other team have to make their final roster decisions by tomorrow, which is Tuesday. Usually I am joined by no one on this edition of the show. We've had a handful of special guests, whether it be Bengal Jim, whether it be Richard Dalton, the architect of our great logos and the updated logos from a couple of months ago, and some other great guests that have been on this program. The Orange Arrow came on to talk about his fantasy league. We've got another special guest. I'm going to bring him on in just a second to talk about some things that I think a lot of Cincinnati sports fans, folks who are Bengals fans, can relate to and be a fan of as well. So we'll get to that in just a second. But hopefully you have checked out all of the episodes we had last week. We had a jam-packed week last week on the show where we did our water cooler chat. We did a delayed post-game show for the week two loss by the Bengals. We had an interview with Devin and Leah Still. So go check that out on all the platforms, YouTube and all audio streamers. And then, of course, we had our main show and another special show with the Locked On Bengals guys, Jake Liskow and James Rapine. A lot of fun last week. And we've got more in store for you this week. But I want to bring in a Twitter buddy of mine, Ian Ryder. He is the singer and guitarist of an Ohio-based band that has just released their newest EP, a new single just came out as well. The band is Holy Coast, and it's Ian Ryder. Ian, what's going on, man? It's good to have you on the show. Sorry, we talked about having you on like over a month ago, and I dropped the ball a bunch. I apologize. No. I know we dig the same music. We are going to play some of your band's music in just a little bit. You're awesome. Going to be doing some stuff in Ohio, and good to have you on, man. I know you're a Bengals fan, so we're going to talk some Bengals. We're going to talk.
Love it.
Yeah, how you doing?
Doing great. I appreciate that we're both suns out, guns out. Looking Jack Diesel today, guys.
Well, I got the bionic arm thing going, dude. So it's kind of by necessity on my end.
Heck yeah, man. I'm excited. Because obviously today is already jam-packed with a lot of things.
That's right. That's right. And I'm going to try and keep up to date. You know, I was doing some things up until about half hour or so before the show in terms of collecting headlines. I'm sure there's going to be more by the time we're on the air here and right. Doing all kinds of different things. But if you wouldn't mind, before we talk a little Bengals football and we'll hear your band's awesome music, tell us a little bit about your band, the style of music, influences, and you know, just a little bit about yourself, including maybe how you became a Bengals fan too.
Oh, that's a fun tidbit. Okay, so band is called Holy Coast. We were previously actually a band called Grubby Paws, but after some member changes and the pandemic, that thing that happened,
Oh yeah, that
the thing.
Yeah.
We just did a rebrand, you know, because obviously just like new chapters, and but it's for fans of, you know, 90s alternative, which Anthony and I were ribbing each other on before we hopped on here.
That's right.
I'm on to you.
I know, yeah, you are. Yeah,
I know you are. but yeah, anybody that's, you know, because everyone in the band is in either their early to actually 40. So there's that pocket of just, we were all primarily 90s kids. And so you get a bunch of us in a room together. It's just noisy 90s alternative, a little bit of emo.
Yeah.
Shout out Mike on Twitter. I'm on YouTube.
where can they find you and your band on Twitter?
All right. On Twitter, it's going to be at Holy Coast Band, and also at Holy Coast Band on Instagram. Holycoastband.bandcamp.com if you want to, you know, give a little donation.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
Pretty much everywhere. Our link tree is Holy Coast Band. My personal Twitter handle, if you want a rated R, expletive, rant filled Twitter feed during Bengals regular season.
Oh boy.
I'm at William Erie. Like, ooh, Erie.
Yeah. Didn't your handle used to be Fat Gibby Haynes or something like that?
Fat Gibby Haynes. Yeah.
I was cracked up with that one. That was
very, very niche market of the band Butthole Surfers.
Yeah.
All stemming from the comment, I look like a chubby Gibby Haynes. And I was like, perfect. Thank you.
I don't think, at least, I don't think that's true. I think you, I think you're looking great, my friend. But thanks for coming on. Let's talk some Bengals.
Let's do it.
And then we'll play in just a little while. We'll play some of your band's great music, and hopefully we can get you some support. You know, I like to bring on some special guests on this one just to kind of talk about some things that Bengal fans that are out there on Twitter that I interact with, that a lot of folks interact with, that they're doing, whether it's, you know, their own projects or something related to the Bengals. I always like to kind of try and promote things that, you know, however I can, whatever little platform I have, I like to promote that. So stoked you're with us, and I'm glad I'm not going to be talking solo into the microphone.
It's actually kind of like a water cooler.
It becomes so lonely, and I'm telling you, it becomes lonely. But let's kind of rattle off some headlines with the Cincinnati Bengals, and then we'll get into the AFC North and into the rest of the NFL. Let's talk this one. So Ian, if you watch, and I don't know why you wouldn't, my friend, but if you watch, listen to the listener questions live for like the past 2 months.
Right.
What can the Bengals trade Billy Price for anything? And John and I sat here and said, well, what's his value? What are you going to get for a guy like this? What are you going to, I mean, really a day three pick, maybe a round seven pick. Well, it turns out they got a guy and they were able to deal him. The Bengals somewhat surprisingly make their first kind of big roster move here. The Bengals trade Billy Price to the Giants for defensive lineman BJ Hill. And Ian, I think that this is a good move because it gives Billy Price an opportunity. It shows that Trey Hopkins is in a good place in terms of his rehabilitation. And the Bengals have unfortunately suffered some injuries on the defensive line early in preseason. Thankfully, they've been largely healthy throughout the preseason, but there's been a couple of big ones in the form of Osai. Sample got nicked up. There's some rumblings about Khalid Kareem getting nicked up yesterday as well. We're waiting to hear if there's more words on that. But before we talk a little bit more about BJ Hill, your thoughts on this whole situation. I saw this and I just, whoa, okay.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I have obviously been on the pulse of all things like, what can you get for Billy Price if the price is right? Everybody, thank you.
Yeah, I like that. I see what you did there.
Yeah, thank you. not bad. Of all things considered, I mean, BJ Hill, okay. And as much as I saw kind of some flutterings on Twitter that, you know, Frank Pollock really was, you know, keen, especially as of late with Billy Price, Billy Price was never Pollock's guy.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, And it stinks, you know, because I am an Ohio State fan, and you always want to pull. Like, come on, man. But for the value that you're getting here, especially when we're needing some depth, it's solid. I'm not, you know, screaming expletives on Twitter yet.
So. Well, Billy Price was seeming to respond pretty well to Frank Pollock's coaching. He was pretty vocal about being stoked to have him back. And we saw an increase, you know, like an uptick in his play really in preseason. There were still some issues, but definitely a better version of Billy Price than we had seen in many other times in his career. But look, I mean, you said it best. I think in the draft, Frank Ragnow was Frank Pollock's guy. And when he got snagged right before the Bengals took the clock there, I think they kind of went into panic mode a little bit. So basically the Bengals kind of give up on a former high pick that never materialized into much for them. And they get one who has kind of had some ups and downs, a former day two pick in BJ Hill, I believe, with the Giants. They get BJ Hill, a conditional 7th round pick. Obviously the conditions surrounding that, I assume, are around the type of playing time that Billy Price gets. And then the Giants get Billy Price. So that's a little bit here. You see Price was the 1st round pick of the 2018 draft for the Bengals. Hill was taken 48 picks later by the Giants. In his 3 years in New York, Hill played over 1,500 snaps, recorded 62 solo tackles, 10 tackles for loss, 7.5 sacks, and 13 quarterback hits. It would seem, Ian, that he is now going to be in this rotation up front on the defensive line. And obviously, you swing a trade like this guy's making the team. So, right. you're figuring that he's going to be there now. Exactly what his role is right away, we're not totally sure, and how much snaps, but there's at least a little bit of a track record there, and they think they can get something out of him.
Solid. I mean, it's just, I think the biggest thing that this coaching staff is going for right now, as far as reviewing tape, reviewing everything, consistency. And yeah, there might be some ebbs and flows, but if a guy is going to be a reasonable rotational guy for the price of Billy Price, reasonable.
And it's conceivable, too, to your point, it's conceivable that Billy Price may not have made the Bengals roster, really. I think he played well enough to be considered as a versatile backup guy, but there is a scenario that exists where he was not going to make the team. So, it's possible that the Bengals kind of – and maybe it's the same thing on the Giants side, too, with B.J. Hill. Maybe he was a guy that they were not going to keep in their plans but thought they could get a little something, and it worked out well for both teams. But right now, Billy Price is in New York or going to New York to be a Giant, and the Bengals get B.J. Hill, a former day two pick of the same draft. He's got 1 year left on his contract, so I'm assuming that's going to be a play for your next deal type of thing for him. I don't think the Bengals are going to extend him right away until they see kind of a little bit more what they got. But this is good. I'm seeing here Stuart Monty. Hey, Ryder's a great guest. Hey, where are you? You're already making waves for me, dude. I love it. That's one of our good buds there. So let's keep rolling on. This is not really on the good news side of things, Ian. Unfortunately, the contract for Trey Waynes continues to look like not a great one from last year. Trey Waynes could be out for a month. Now it's not a misleading headline. That is what a report says, but I think some people, when they hear a month, they maybe automatically think a month into the season, when in fact it could be a month from like today, right? So we could be looking at something where he misses the first couple of games, which is a real bummer for Waynes, because he would be going up if he does miss week one. Not only does it, you know, take away from the Bengals defense, but he wouldn't go up against his former team. But he hurt the other hamstring. He had a hamstring issue a few weeks back. This is the other hamstring. So these things tend to linger, and we'll see what happens here, but not great news here. And Eli Apple appears to be the guy that's going to get the snaps here in lieu of Waynes if he is to miss time.
Which? Okay.
Yeah. Grin and bear it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
So Malik Wright, Bengals insider, we got to get him on the show sometime soon too. Here,
he's the man.
Yeah, he knows his stuff, man. Trey Waynes expected to miss a few weeks to a month with a hamstring. Of course, you would assume that's that's some inside information that he has received from the club there. Sure. How do you think the Bengals can do without Waynes in the lineup? I Eli Apple has been up and down, with more being down than up after being a really high pick. You know him from being an Ohio State guy.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, Chidobe Awuzie has been one of, if not the most impressive player in camp by all kinds of reports. So, you know, how do you think the Bengals can get past this for the first couple of weeks? You think things will be okay, or is it going to be a little sketchy here with Apple taking significant snaps?
I'll put it like this. I think they'll be okay. And the reason why I say that is because what I'm seeing, I mean, again, obviously preseason is preseason, right? It's vanilla looks. You're just trying to evaluate, you know, individuals. However, what I am seeing from Lou Anarumo's squad, I'm seeing energy I have not seen better part of a decade.
Yeah.
I mean, like an actual, like, they're young, they're hungry, there's a sassiness.
Mm-hmm.
And just even watching what the quote unquote meaningless preseason, you saw Bengals jerseys after that ball. There's like this mantra that's going on the defensive side. Doesn't matter what position, whether you're a defensive back, a linebacker, you're on the line, I don't care. Get the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They're hungry. And so I think this definitely stinks. And, you know, injuries like this, especially with, like, it might be a few weeks to a month, maybe. I don't know. I have trust issues with these timelines.
I do too.
Coach speak.
I do too.
However, I'm oddly complacent. I'm oddly like, okay, because you're seeing a different spirit, especially on the defensive side. Like, everybody, you know, especially after the draft, we're all sitting here going like, this offense is going to be ripping, dude. It's going to be crushing. Defense, I think, took that personally. I think mm-hmm. Lou took that personally. I think all the coaches took that personally. And they've just been coming out, whether it's in training camp, whether it's in preseason, like the third, fourth string guys are like playing out of their gourds during preseason. I think we'll be okay.
I think they'll be okay, but I think it is dependent upon the pass rush. And if the pass rush can still,
right,
they can get pressure from different spots, different players, if they can find a formula between a couple of players to recreate the pressure that was probably going to be generated by Joseph Osai, I think they'll be okay on the outside, especially if this is a short-term injury. If this lingers on, if this becomes an issue and maybe they rush him back and maybe he's not 100% by the time he comes back, I get a little worried about that. But the Bengals made specific moves at the cornerback position and along the defensive line to be able to hopefully withstand these exact type of injuries and situations. So I think to your point that's a big key as to what you're seeing too, in terms of the energy level and the hustle and everything. On defense. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. Yeah. Yeah. We'll see what happens with Waynes there.
Also, side note, yep. I got to run and grab a charger real quick.
So okay.
I'll be right back.
All right. By the way, he is Ian Ryder, the singer and guitarist of Holy Coast Band. He's going to come right back and grab a charger as we're going into more here. So go check out their band stuff. We're going to play some of their music in just a second. In case folks didn't know, T. Higgins did not play in the preseason finale because of back tightness. I don't believe this is something that's going to be anything of he would basically see here. Zach Taylor said if it was a regular season game, Higgins would absolutely have played. So not something to overly worry about, and that's via Ben Baby. This article is on cincyjungle.com. But in case you were wondering what happened with T. Higgins and why he was not playing yesterday, that would be the reason why. So doesn't sound to be serious, obviously precautionary, and with essentially their starters taking only one series in the game, then, that's why T. Higgins was not out there. So, I'm sure he's fine. And The Bengals are definitely eager to have him back in the lineup for sure. I think we've got Ian back here. He got charged up. So
record time.
Hey, musicians are they got to have their chords and their electrical power. I know how that stuff goes, man.
So, oh yeah.
You gotta do that. I just wanted to share this. I don't know what you thought. The Bengals kind of caught some flack for this. This is just a quick little video here of from the Bengals Twitter account. It's their Welcome to the Jungle, and this just kind of shows their little new intro. I'll rewind this for everybody here, where you see the Tigers kind of breathing the fire or the smoke onto the field there, and the pillars, kind of that marketing initiative that they did with the Rule of the Jungle. They had the big gray throne and tigers and etc. Some people thought it was a little hokey. Some people actually compared it to like the Ravens. It looks kind of similar to what the Ravens do in the pregame. So I don't know if you saw this and or had thoughts, Ian, but this is kind of how they charged out here. And of course we get jazzed up seeing number 9 running out there with the boys too.
I mean, hokey, sure. But I think this has obviously been reported a crap ton. The front office is caring. And this is just another, I think, just a little crumb of just effort.
Yeah.
Especially with everything that, like, Elizabeth Blackburn's been doing. Also, she's dope.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, sure. To us, it's like, hokey. It's effort. I haven't seen like this kind of movement from this organization. It's been a very long time.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you had a little bit of the culture shift with Marvin Lewis, but that was like for the players really. And Marvin Lewis was like, we're going to provide Gatorades now.
Yeah.
And not make this totally torture.
Yeah.
But like, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, but like, as a fan, a begrudging old bitter fan at times, this is a breath of fresh air, and I love it. As cheesy as it is.
It's interesting that you bring that. I never really thought of it in this way until you just said something where Marvin Lewis, his power grab was maybe for the players.
Right.
These moves... I mean, it's kind of obvious to say out loud, but I guess we never really thought of it in this vein, or at least I haven't heard people think about it in this vein, is, you know, Marvin Lewis, his stuff was for the players and, you know, modernizing the team, et cetera.
Right.
These initiatives that we're seeing from Elizabeth Blackburn are almost like more for the fans. I mean, for former players as well, for the Ring of Honor, but this is the kind of stuff that endears the team to the fan base. They've always kind of had a little bit of a, whether accurate, fully accurate or not, a little bit of an ivory tower type of mentality where they kind of keep to themselves, look down and kind of keep it a lot of people at arm's length. And when they do the right things, they don't necessarily beat their chest about it. We talked to Devin Still the other day, you know, people are so easy to forget about the whole jersey thing that they did with Devin Still a handful of years ago. And they raised over $1 million for, you know, Cincinnati Hospital, and here they are. They continue to get dragged by the national media in a lot of different ways. And it's like, oh, by the way, does anyone remember that they did that? I mean,
exactly,
So I think you bring up an interesting point there about, you know, the fact that Marvin did stuff more for the players, and I don't know, this kind of stuff, even if it's a little hokey, it's a show for the fans, and they're really trying to bolster that.
And also consider just and us as elder Bengals fans, think about it from the mentality of as when we were kids, taking your, you know, obviously you have kids and I have an 8-year-old, you know, taking our children to mm-hmm. this and them experiencing that. How exciting is that? Yeah. To us, it's like, man, kind of looks like the Ravens.
Right.
But like to a child, like that's huge. So sure, hokey, whatever.
Yeah, and the what is it? The ruler of the jungle, the pregame, whoever they designate as the pregame person to kind of get things going. I went to the Bengals versus Seahawks game to kick off the season in 2019 in Seattle, And Seattle does a thing like that where they raise the 12th man flag, and I think the Vikings do a deal where someone blows into the horn type of thing. And I mean, there's all kinds of different pregame traditions. The Bengals didn't have a ton of those, and now they're kind of doing more of that, and it's all for fan engagement, which is kind of cool. This is also just kind of coattailing, nothing too much to say about this. Well, I guess there is stuff to say about this. Article on Cincy Jungle, Joe Burrow gets a standing ovation as he returns to the lineup, Ian. A little bit of predictable. I think I kind of want, if they were going to play him, I kind of wanted to see him in there a little longer than one series, two handoffs and one screen pass.
Yeah.
I understand. It was still just kind of like, also at the same time, like just get out of there, just be healthy, get out of there, you know? But he came back, he played well, the ball he threw should have been caught. We're going to talk more about that in a minute, but comes back standing O, and it was good to see Joe.
Yeah, man. Again, there's just a spirit about this team right now that I haven't felt in so long. And even little things like this, like, yeah, he's going to get a couple handoffs, you know, because Coach Taylor is consistent with saying it's going to be like three snaps. Yes. But even that little bit, there's just this air around it. So standing ovation, yes. Joey B, please, bro, take us to the promised land, but stay healthy. Yeah, you know, so I'm not totally beat up that it was only three. I mean, I agree with you. I wish it was for a little bit more, but I get it. Sure.
I get it too. And, you know, the Bengals are, they're doing what they need to do. And obviously they thought that given those limited amount of snaps to Joe Burrow was going to be the best thing for them here. So, that is what it is. I do apologize if there's a little bit of background noise in my house, having some work done at the current time, but hopefully that's not too deafening at this point in the background. My microphone seems to pick up a lot of different stuff. So,
well, it's great that you say that, because you might have like some housework that I can't even hear, but literally I've been like on a razor's edge right now, waiting for the volunteer fire department to go off.
Uh-oh.
And then bikers ripping up and down the main drive here.
Uh-oh. I actually played this a little premature here. There's a little bit of noise there. So anyway, just high production value on the Orange and Black Insider here today.
Killing it.
On my part. Yeah. I played this yesterday, late last night when we were taking the air. This is what happens when you try and extend the screen here. Evan McPherson, big kick yesterday, Ian, 57 yarder. Here it is. It's a little grainy. This is on the the official Bengals Twitter account here, 57 yards. This kid's a weapon, man. I'm stoked on this kid. You know, people jokingly say he may be the best player in this draft class. And it's kind of like, well, I mean, if so, this is a guy that scores points for you. So, I mean, I'll take it. If this guy's going to routinely hit 50 plus yarders, I think last week he hit a 50 yarder. Maybe that was the first week. I don't know. He hits the 57 one here. This one was probably going to be good from like 65. Inevitably, I said this last night on the post game show, inevitably there's going to be a miss somehow.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how he rebounds as a rookie kicker, and hopefully he doesn't get in his own head in that respect. But I love what I've seen from this kid so far.
And when you get Pat McAfee posting this highlight.
Yeah.
I mean, it says it all. The boy's got a golden toe.
Yeah.
And we are gone from Randy Meatball Sub Bullock. He is now Detroit's problem with Zane Gonzalez.
Oh. Yeah.
So it could be worse, y'all. We have a kicker now. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. They have like two good ones now, because Seibert's been kicking well too here. So I don't know what they're going to do about that, but I'm sure this is McPherson's job.
Talk about really quick?
Yeah.
For those who watched the game yesterday, after he crushed that 57 yarder, about a 2 second camera grab of Austin Seibert on the sideline, just like,
not congratulatory at all. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, crap.
Yeah.
That was, all right.
It was almost like that was my nail in the coffin type of thing. Yeah.
Well, fire up the car, boys. You got to go.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't really see, it would be nice to kind of create some odd scenario where you can think about the Bengals being able to, hang on to Cyber, trade him away or something like that. I just don't see that happening. Then you're losing out on a guy potentially. I just don't see that happening. So, unfortunately,
don't Jake Elliott this, please.
Yeah, I know. But I think this is McPherson's job to lose here, and that was an awesome thing to see yesterday. Unfortunately, on the flip side, another rookie having some struggles. Ian, not a great preseason for the number 5 overall pick, Ja'Marr Chase. Had one that was a screen pass. I mean, people are overanalyzing. I'm seeing how they're analyzing the drops on this. The point of the matter is he's not catching the football. It doesn't matter if it's Joe Burrow throwing him the ball on an easy screen pass. It's not if it's Brandon Allen throwing a little bit behind him or leading him into what could have been, maybe one of those drops against Washington was a business decision where he didn't take the hit from Landon Collins or whatever.
Right.
The point is, in these games, the last two games, he has 4 drops. He has five total targets, 1 catch, 4 drops. So this last one was not great, but it seems predictably that Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow are voicing their support. We'll hear what they say about it. But what are you making of the case of the dropsies by Ja'Marr Chase here? We've seen, and by the way, this isn't something that just randomly popped up. If you go back to some training camp videos and practices, there are a couple of drops in there and ones that seem to be of the routine kind. So,
right.
Some of this is maybe a little bit to be expected, especially after a year off of football, but I'd love to hear your take on Chase and if you're kind of in that, hey, it's going to be fine boat, or if you're concerned.
It's concerning for sure. I mean, they're in the world that is me trying to be empathetic. he's a kid and this is an incredibly big stage. It's a lot. And he's a year from playing football. There's obviously expected rust, which has been tossed out article after article, media pundit after media pundit. It is concerning. Because, Coach Taylor and our man Joey B got his back saying, but have y'all seen him at practice, though, especially like the past 2 practices where he's been pretty awesome? That's great. But game time. Yeah, sure. Preseason. But I think it's been pointed out quite a few times, especially lately. These aren't like necessarily oopsies. It's mental. There's a block in there. There's a hesitation. There's, that extremely catchable pass from Joe. He almost was just like, I'm going to hit. Because there's a guy like 5 feet away from him. So he's like, can you break that? I would think he can, but obviously we are 2 weeks away from regular season. So the media's got to latch onto something, but this is something that is mildly concerning.
Sure. I would agree with you. And there's so many with like everything these days, it's like so many people are in like one camp and completely anti the other camp. I've always been kind of maybe I'm just a peacemaker, Ian. I don't know. But I like to try and find a lot of middle ground. So my thing with this is you can think that he's going to figure this out and not think this is going to be a long-term issue, but you can be immediately concerned about this as well.
For sure.
Kind of where I am with it. I think, he's a talented enough kid to be a number 5 overall pick after he didn't even play football the year prior. So I think he's got the skills to be able to figure it out. There were stories going into the draft where he had the summer of 10,000 catches or something, where he just worked on catching the football. And that was something that, that was a story as he became pro. Here's the quote, by the way, and this is from Jeremy Roush of Fox 19, Joe Burrow on Ja'Marr Chase dropping his 1 target. I'm not worried about it. I know the kind of guy and player Ja'Marr is. and said he's confident he will be ready to go week one. And then Ben Baby relays the quote from Zach Taylor, essentially shrugging off any concerns about Jamar Chase's drops in the last two preseason games, said, "Those who have been at practice, aka us," I don't know if Ben means us, the journalists and or players, coaches, maybe all of them, I don't know, have seen some great plays for him. My thing with it, Ian, was that I said after the Washington game, how does he respond? How does he respond to practice? Came out Sunday, had a real rough practice. Yeah. Then Monday and others, he kicked butt and he looked awesome and it looked like he'd shaken this thing. And then he goes out and has this bad look again there. I don't know. You could very well be correct in terms of I don't want to take contact in a meaningless preseason game. Maybe that's the deal. I kind of thought at least yesterday was a bit more of almost just took his eye. It started to run up field before he secured the football type of thing. Could have been a mixture of both. I don't know, but it seems that these are correctable things. And I think he's going to work through this, and you may see some growing pains early in this season. And then as he gets used to the pro game, as he gets used to coming back to football after a year, you may see some good things from him. But the other element is, and it's a good thing, the Bengals have talented wide receivers outside of him. He did not like he's, you know, it's not like he was the, even though he had a very similar draft positioning, it's not like what the Bengals needed AJ Green to be immediately back then. The Bengals now have T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, even Auden Tate to a lesser extent to kind of, they're going to get Chase involved, but if there are continued issues there, they've got some other players, CJ Uzomah, that they can rely upon to create some movement, some versatile backs. We're going to talk about them too. I don't know. I'm concerned about it. And maybe that helps quell my concern a little bit is the surrounding talent around them too.
That not only is there surrounding talent, but can we also mention the pass protection?
Yeah.
Has been okay.
Yeah.
Like there was a pass that Brandon Allen did yesterday. I think by my imaginary watch and my brain meat, it was over 4 seconds. He was just had a solid four and a quarter. What am I doing?
Yep. To your point, this is something we can talk about too a little bit. One sack in three games given up by the offensive line. You may even want to talk about how you issue that sack because it was kind of a scramble around by Shurmur. It was kind of a disastrous play where he got sacked, strip, fumble, that sort of thing. But, you know, depending on who you want to credit there, the first units, I don't believe, number one, they didn't let up a sack. But I know in the first two games, they didn't even let up a pressure, the first units that they put out there. I'd have to go back and find some more information about the group yesterday. But they're putting it together with Band-Aids, glue, and Jonah Williams and Riley Reiff, basically. And Reiff
figuring it out.
Strong. Yeah, and Reiff hasn't even looked that strong in his preseason games. Jonah's looked pretty good, and you know, now Billy Price is out of the picture, so they think they've got a solid group, and maybe this year we're the dummies. You know, last year they told us we were dumb for not liking who they trotted out there. That ended up in a disastrous way, and they said the same thing to us this year. We were hesitant to believe them, and at least the preseason play is telling us otherwise, man.
They're telling us it's apple trees and we're actually seeing some apples rather than a certain other offensive line coach who was like, no, it's apples. And it was just literal turds.
Yeah.
And now I have a couple buddies who are big Buffalo fans on Twitter who are like lamenting Bobby Hart. And I'm just like, I feel you. We were there.
We were there.
Especially since over in Buffalo, they're defending the crap out of Bobby Hart. And I'm like, it's a vicious cycle. It doesn't end. I'm sorry, guys.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Let's talk a tiny bit more Jamar Chase. We'll talk a little bit more about the Bengals, and then we're going to transition. Talking with I'm joined by Ian Ryder, who is the singer and guitarist of Holy Coast Band, an Ohio-based band that has released a new EP, Hell Burns with the Desire to Erase You Like You Were Never There. And we're going to hear about that creative title in just a little bit. They are an independent band, and they have put out a lot of cool stuff. They're an alt-rock band doing some stuff in Ohio in terms of shows, however they are able to in terms of safety and everything with the pandemic, but really good music. I like me some alt rock. They do get some good stuff. So we're going to play some of their music for you in just a little bit, but wanted to talk about them and talk some Bangles with Ian. So he's going to be joining us for the remainder of the show. If you're good with time, man, we'd love to.
I'm good.
So we'll talk about his band in just a couple minutes, talking some Cincinnati Bengals based on their preseason ending last night here's another thing, by the way, when we're talking about the issues with Ja'Marr Chase, Penei Sewell's another guy that's not having a great preseason. So, you know, when you're sitting here bagging on Ja'Marr Chase, and, you know, I wish I would have had Penei Sewell, which, by the way, I really like Penei Sewell too, but he is not having a great preseason either. This is an article on CincyJungle.com. Chris Trapasso of CBS Sports put rookie grades through the first 2 weeks of preseason football, settled on a D+ for Chase. Three drops. I'm sure this grade would even drop further after yesterday, but three drops on three targets against the Washington football team. That's the headline with Chase, and it's an ugly one. I'm, of course, not ready to bury him yet, not even remotely close. Chase's hands were not a problem at LSU. And he goes on and on kind of more what we're talking about. But, again, one of the more disappointing grades from Chris Trapasso of CBS Sports. Obviously not taking into account what happened yesterday against the Miami Dolphins. But I don't know if you have any additional thoughts on that. I don't want to make this a Ja'Marr Chase slam show, but
right.
You know, there's a lot of stuff out there on him.
No, and like I said before, I mean, with things now, that awkward lull between the preseason and then the regular season, they're going to latch onto story arcs. And obviously, and unfortunately, it's Ja'Marr Chase, because obviously huge controversy. Every media pundit, you know, last year was like, Penei. I mean, how many great pieces of podcast content did, you know, your channel have out of round tables, everybody pounding the table being, you know, Team Penei, you know, Team Chase. It's going to happen. And it's not, we're not going to keep beating the essential, the dead horse, so to speak, but it's okay to have it on the radar. Sure.
It is. But some good news. Another rookie is doing some good things aside from Evan McPherson in this class, probably cemented his case to stay on the roster. I'm going to try and not blast the sound on this one here for you. Hopefully it doesn't do it, but this is a tweet. I'm going to go full screen with this bad boy. This is the play to Chris Evans. So we're going to extend this bad boy, go full screen for you. There we go. I did it right this time. Here is the play here. Beautiful throw by Brandon.
Yeah, look at that.
I mean, right before the safety got in there, dropped it in the bucket. I think Evans was in the slot when he lined up.
Yep.
And just kind of did a little mini wheel route up the sideline. Allen hit him in stride earlier that drive too. Brandon Allen had a hell of a game. He hit Trenton Irwin on a really nice ball a little bit before that. Might have been a play or two before that. Just dropped it into the bucket. There it is again. But this kid's exciting. He wears 25, and there's a lot of memories as to a player who did a lot of exciting things with that jersey number. So Chris Evans seems to be a guy that they're going to hang on to in the offense and probably do a lot of different things with him.
Yeah, man. Like the running back room right now, I'm champing at the bit seeing what tomorrow brings, really, because that running back room is like, they're trying their damnedest. And, but obviously, as you, excuse me, alluded to, Chris Evans is Captain America.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, he's, even when he's not doing, yeah, I love how this is just on a loop.
Yeah.
It's really giving me an endorphin rush right now. But he is such an underrated kind of gadget guy, very much a Giovanni Bernard. I mean, we've replaced 25 with 25. And yeah. I'm not mad. This is kind of sick.
yeah, and this is what they drafted him for, and you know, to make plays like that, to be a weapon in the passing game, and you know, if they feel he can do most, if not all, of the things that Gio did, and do so at a much cheaper contractual rate. I mean, that's kind of the plan there. But they think, I mean, if he's going to make this team, which I believe he's going to, he's going to play in the slot, he's going to play out of the backfield, he's going to do some different things, and I think he's going to get a decent amount of looks as a rookie, primarily as a pass catcher. I think a nice outlet for Joe Burrow, but you know, he's a guy who had a nice day yesterday. I want to just quickly, I'm not going to go too much into this one, but I just kind of want to promote this from my co-host John Sheeran on Cincy Jungle. He's got a final roster projection on here. I'm going to pin that link in the live chat. I'm not going to spoil it and show you. You got to go over there and read it, but those are always fun to go in there. And of course the comments turn into a nice debate there. But like you said, I think the running back group is going to be an interesting way that they shape that. I think wide receiver is going to be interesting. They'll probably, I would assume, only keep two quarterbacks, Allen and Burrow, obviously. So they're probably going to go heavier defensive line, potentially offensive line, maybe not offensive line since Billy Price is not part of the plans now. I don't know, but I'm interested in see how it shakes out.
Yeah. It's again with the preseason, I'm watching a lot of these groups fight every yard, every snap, like going back to the running backs, coin flip. I mean, Godspeed, John, trying to project a roster. Like, I think I was messaging you yesterday. I'm like, just, I would not want Frank Pollock's job.
Yeah.
Like, it, just the thought of trying to figure out the proper rotation, who's going to be, who we keep and who we cutting, makes my brain itch.
Yeah.
So kudos, man. If you guys are, if anybody in Bengals Nation's able to get 60 to 75% of their projection correct outside of the obvious ones.
Yeah.
Kudos.
Yeah. Here's an awesome headline from our commander in chief over at Cincy Jungle, Jason Markham. Good news. Jason Lockenfora thinks the Bengals have a terrible season. And why is that good news? Because, he's not always the most correct in his predictions, but in case you did not see on CBS Sports, Lockenfora included the Bengals in his list of six NFL teams headed for an ugly 2021 season. Ian, quote, Joe Burrow has been very upfront about the mental demons he is facing coming back from major knee surgery. All the coaches are saying the right thing, but this is going to be an arduous process and no one is flicking a switch week one. Last year's injury will bleed into this season. And there remain major questions about the linemen comprising the first team offensive line. The interior offensive line is a problem, said one exec who has watched the Bengals. Jamar Chase will ultimately be fine, but this is a case of the yips or the drops or whatever you want to call them. Can in no way be construed as a positive development. Playing in the AFC North does him no favors. That part I agree with. The specter of how Burrow's rookie season ended will hang over them, and this team should be better in December than it is in September. But anytime your franchise quarterback is going through something like this, it's going to color your training camp panorama and conjure questions. Well, here's the thing, Ian. Joe Burrow has subsequently come out and said that he feels like he's in a better spot mentally. Now, of course, we didn't get to see much of that specifically take place in preseason. We saw better steps in practice. We didn't get to see much of it in preseason games, but he has since kind of quelled those those concerns. And then we just talked about how the offensive line is kind of, at least in preseason games and a mix and match scenario, they're exceeding expectations. So a lot of this is kind of, you sure about that?
Right. And I all credit to everybody who contributes to Cincy Jungle. Been an avid reader for quite some time.
Awesome.
So that headline, I was like, instantly knew. I'm like, yes. but it was also just validating my point. I think I might have mentioned earlier of just like everybody's going to latch, especially in right now, onto any story arc. And Joe Burrow has one snippet where he's like, yeah, I'm just kind of dusting off some things. It's a little rough. you know, somebody grabs that now soundbite and they're like, oh my God.
Right.
Whatever. We'll be okay.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Unfortunately, some not great news from a franchise standpoint, a historical standpoint. A lot of people know this by now, but it has technically been within the calendar week since we took the air for the water cooler chat. Ken Riley, Ken Anderson have both been snubbed from the 2022 Pro Football Hall of Fame class. Cliff Branch, a deserving player, it has been the guy that the committee moved on with. Just interesting, though, because Ken Riley was the first runner-up last year, and then he did not make it this year. Ken Anderson, again, not. I don't know that he'll get in his lifetime at this point. I hate to say that. I think he's more than deserving, but this voting process just continues to be a bit of a circus. And I had someone, Ian, talk to me about it. I think it was someone in maybe one of our live chats, but they basically said the statistical probability of a team being in existence for, what, 53 years, 54 years, and having one Hall of Fame player that is specifically in the Hall of Fame for their team and their team only, Anthony Munoz, is astronomically low. I mean, the fact that they can't get one of these two deserving guys in there, there's not even really a lot of movement on Willie Anderson. There was some this last year getting him in.
Right.
Johnson, I mean, I know he maybe not be top 15 or 20 statistic. I have to look. I mean, he's up there in terms of yards and whatnot, but he changed the face of Cincinnati football. You've got AJ Green coming out in a little while. Geno Atkins, that should be a guy. I mean, where does the line end is kind of my point here. And I was really bummed out about this news here.
Same. I as somebody who was born literally 5 days before the last Super Bowl appearance, there has not been a lot of great moments since then. And going back through our entire history, these are almost to a point of absolute frustration, blatant, obvious names that should be right up there, should have happened years ago. Mm-hmm. I was just as frustrated, you know, when I'm seeing this on my timeline, and I'm just like, I try and not to really ingest a lot of the negative things like this, where it just sort of gives validation to the idea that the media low key has something really against the city of Cincinnati. It just feels like we just can't get anything, you know, and this is one of those things where this should be an absolute outrage. You know, I should be seeing, you know, Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless pounding the table going, what is going on? Nothing. It's insane.
And look, we all felt really good about the Ring of Honor and these two being part of it, along with Anthony Munoz and Paul Brown. I felt really good, not a pat on myself on the back type of thing, but what we were able to raise to help out the foundations for these two players and Munoz from listeners like yourself, Ian, and other Cincinnati Bengals fans, Cincy Jungle readers. I mean, we raised, you know, $2,200 plus for those three charities just from, you know, trying to have a little fun and honoring them. We got to speak to Ken Riley II, Ken Anderson, and Anthony Munoz during, you know, kind of a week span, which was really, really cool. So all of that had me feeling pretty good about this whole thing. But then you look at this, it's kind of a slap in the face, and you go back even a year right after Ken Riley's unfortunate death, and, you know, they don't even have him in the in memoriam thing at the NFL honors. And there's all kinds of different things like what you said, where you're just going, what is the deal here?
It's blatant.
It's pretty unbelievable. It's pretty unbelievable. So, unfortunately that is a piece of news that we got to share, and not the best of stuff, but
can we have a silver lining with that though?
Yeah. Let's hear it.
There's a little silver lining with that. My prediction is once Joey B brings us to the promised land and creates media relevance, all these skeletons in the closet of all these things that are like such bummers are finally going to be brought to the forefront, and it's going to happen a lot sooner than later. So yes, it's a bummer right now, but I just have a gut feeling that we're about to catch fire in the next couple of years. And so hopefully once the city of Cincinnati is able to be put in a positive light for once and not, you know, be deemed cursed by Woody Harrelson. I think that these unjust things will be made just. Yeah. So it's going to happen.
I hope you're right.
Hang in there, guys. It's been over 30 years.
I know. And hey, kudos to Ken Anderson and to the Riley family. They just keep, I mean, it's obviously something that is very disappointing to them, but they don't, unfortunately, they get asked about it all the time. They're very gracious about it. Anderson especially deflects on the greatness of a lot of his teammates he played with and all that when you talk to him. So they are nothing but class acts about it, while, you know, people like Anthony Munoz and all the way down just kind of say, you know, this is kind of a travesty. These guys aren't in there, but I like your silver lining. And one thing I put, I'm not going to pin my own tweet. I don't like to shameless self-promote, but I did relay some stuff in case anyone missed the Colin Cowherd, the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio. TJ Hushman's auto was on there and had a couple of tidbits. He thinks the Bengals may have some struggles this year, including Burrow at the early part of the year. But to your point, Ian, Hush says that the Bengals are going to be headed in a really good direction in the very near future under Joe Burrow, and Burrow just has the it factor. In case we didn't already know that, Hush believes it.
Right. I mean, of all the former players recently who are frequently circulating in the media, Hushmanzada has just been calls it as I sees it sort of guy. I mean, that's how he's always been. But with him, he's able to, like, give you a pragmatic, like, this is, yeah, but then just really hit you with a, but pay attention to this.
Right.
But Joe Burrow. So that's something to be excited for. I'm giddy.
Yeah. I go back and listen whether you're a Colin Cowherd fan or not, go back and listen to that interview. Cause I found it to be really, really, really interesting. I just happened to be in my car and turn it on, and Hush was talking some really, really interesting tidbits about the Seahawks, about the Packers, mm-hmm. and then they transitioned to the Bengals a little bit. So really interesting stuff there. Before we get to some, we've got a lot more to get to here. Well, more to get to, so definitely want to stick around. I want to tell all of you about Symbol, S-I-M-B-U-L-L. And Ian, I think, hopefully, if you've heard our show, you heard us talk about Symbol.
Everyone, absolutely.
We partnered with them once again for the regular season. Symbol is the site where you can buy teams and trade them like stocks, make some money, put some money in your pocket. If you are a fantasy football aficionado, if you play, what is it, the survival pool, if you do any kind of things like that, if you do FanDuel and that kind of stuff, you got to add this to your fantasy sports repertoire. This is a different type of game, or not really a game. I mean, it's trading teams and shares of teams like they are stocks. So if you also dabble in the stock market, this is something that you should look into. And oh, by the way, the Orange and Black Insider, if you use the promo code OBI, you get some incentives to sign up with Symbol, SIMBULL.APP/OBI. Go in there, use the promo code OBI, and you get some incentives on your sign up. But basically, you can buy shares of teams, whether it's the Cincinnati Bengals, whether it's maybe the Cincinnati Reds, or some other team that you feel you can just make some money on if you have no emotional ties to them. You can buy shares of them and hopefully make some money, sell them off, put some money in your pocket. And if you're able to make some money off a team that you are passionate about, what's better than that, right? So go to SIMBULL.APP/OBI. Get signed up today. You can do college football, baseball, football, anything. It's all there for you. So check that out. And we are stoked to be partnering with them once again. We're going to get to some AFC North news and some NFL news in just a second. I'm joined by Ian Ryder, in case you didn't catch that at the beginning, or another little part in the show. Ian Ryder is the singer and guitarist for the band Holy Coast, an Ohio-based band. And he was kind enough to kind of, hey, man, check out our music. What do you think? And I really dug it. He knows that I like alt rock. He knows that I like, I used to be a little bit of a emo bro. We were joking about that.
An Ebro.
Ebro. Yeah. Ebro. Yeah. I liked Ebro. So, and you know, you there's a couple bands that are out right now that I, as I listened to your band, it kind of reminded me of them. And I really, really dig what you're doing. We're going to play a clip of your newest single, which is To Erase You. This, you said this just got released, what, today?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to tell us a little bit about it before we play the clip.
For sure. Well, To Erase You, and if anybody hasn't caught on to the names of the songs, or, you know, the name of the EP, the name of the EP is the name of the songs.
Again, the single is To Erase You. The EP is Hell Burns With the Desire to Erase You Like You Were Never There. Again, it's the song titles that they put together as an EP. They are an independent band that have released their album. We'll hear again from Ian in just a minute, and then of course get to some more news here on the Water Cooler Chat. Bear with me as I pull this up for you. This is a little bit of a music video here from Holy Coast Band. This is on their Twitter account, so check this one out here. We got the volume cranked up for you. Check it out. So that is To Erase You, a clip of it. And we got Ian back.
We're back.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. We lost you for a little bit there.
Yeah, he had a really good throat space.
Right when you were plugging your music.
I know. It's the powers that be, man.
No, it's all good. We got you back. Tell us a little bit about the song again, and then where people can go get the full version, download it, and of course support your band. And if you've got some gigs coming up in the Ohio or Cincinnati area, so people can check you out.
For sure. Well, To Erase You just dropped today. The EP is going to be released on September 10th. It's right now To Erase You, and then the first two previous singles are literally out everywhere you can get your music digitally. We also have a Bandcamp, holycoastband.bandcamp.com, where you can actually purchase it for like 99 cents. It'd be much appreciated to donate. But yeah, again, I'm not sure what made it through the airwaves, but essentially the whole EP is kind of around one theme, and it's about finding something about yourself that you, as passionate as hell, want to change. And what's with the poetic irony here is I thought I was writing it about other people and, you know, being like emo, everybody, but the reality was these are all things I just didn't like in myself. And specifically, To Erase You is about literally, you know, using the symbolism of cutting that part of yourself out and just like it was never there. I'm moving on. Kind of like what we did with the band. You know, we were previously another band and pandemic happened. A little bit of member changes happened. We all just kind of looked at each other and said, this is the next chapter. Yeah. And so this is the sort of kind of common theme, and we're just going full force. As far as shows, obviously, we started going full steam into trying to book some things, but with everything with the Delta variant right now, we're taking a little bit of a step back, but things are in process still. We're just making sure what the procedures are going to be moving forward, because I know once the fall officially hits, it's going to be a completely different ballgame. But follow us on our Twitter at Holy Coast Band, Instagram, Holy Coast Band, our Facebook at Holy Coast, or I think it might be a Holy Coast Band. We are in process of going to be playing not only in Ohio, but we have projected shows happening, you know, in the Indiana area. Cool. Michigan, just kind of like it's a Midwest takeover.
Cool.
So to speak.
That's awesome. Well, again, I wouldn't play the music if I didn't enjoy it, man. And I like what you guys are doing. I like the vibe awesome. There. Definitely going to support you guys. And you're fun to interact with on Twitter. I'm going to be making my way out to Cincinnati in just a couple weeks here. So if you're around in the area, let's meet up. But
let's do it, dude.
I wanted to support your band and, you know, maybe we can work on some stuff where we can use a tune or two, not to put you on the spot on the air, but maybe we could.
Yeah, dude.
And
riff, sure. I'm also I'm in a death metal band. I'm in a metalcore band.
Okay.
Shout out Hanging Fortress. Shout out, No Solace. Shout out my old man, Settle the Sky. We have an entire artillery of riffs that you guys can use for the podcast.
Cool. So I have a buddy. He's donated some music to us that we've used a little bit. He was in a metal band called Bleed the Sky. They got some run for a while there, and and he's a good buddy of mine. I went to high school with him, and so he gave us some of the music and things. So we've used that, and we'd be happy to use some of yours on some things too. So
I'm on to you, Cosenza. I'm on. You. I know, dude.
Anyway, good stuff. We'll again remind folks how to get the great music from Holy Coast Band that's coming out again, new EP and new single out today. So that
Really
well there. So hope you enjoyed that little clip there. Let's move into a little bit of AFC North and NFL talk before we bounce on out of here. We had a long session here, but it's been an awesome one because it's not just me yakking. I get to talk to someone and you get to be entertained by someone far more entertaining than I, Ian Ryder, joining us here. Let's see. I'm trying to think of where we want to start here. Let's go with the old Baltimore Ravens. Not great news for them. And really, really the worst kind of nightmare for a team when you play a star player in a preseason finale, a preseason game. The Baltimore Ravens lose J.K. Dobbins, a promising running back. He had a pretty good rookie year. Probably was going to be heavily featured this year in their mega rushing attack that they employ. Here, there's an article on BaltimoreRavens.com by Ryan Mink talking about how they plan to move forward. Dobbins is going to be on IR, season-ending knee injury, Ian. And now you've got, Gus Edwards, who has had some big games. They're going to do it by committee like they kind of planned on, but now Dobbins being out changes a lot of things. I still think they'll be able to effectively run the ball, utilize backs in the passing game like they always seem to be able to do. This is a big blow for them.
I have the ghost of John Sheeran right now. He posted a tweet not too long ago of just that the smarmy way he does it of just like Lamar Jackson's a running back.
Yeah.
Their run game is going to be fine.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it will be. It's one of those teams, man, the way they're run, the way they're coached, like the Steelers. A lot of people are saying Steelers are going to be awful this year. Maybe, but I never count that team out. Mike Tomlin, no matter what, has never had a losing season as an NFL head coach, and he's been there about a decade and a half. So, I mean, there's first time for everything, but the odds are telling you that that's not necessarily going to be the case in terms of them being terrible. So, I seem to think that the Baltimore Ravens will be able to move on from this, but man alive, that's a big blow for them.
Sure. And as an Ohio State fan, obviously it hurts a little bit.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
I figured you might have some additional feelings on that one.
It's an owie. It's an owie for sure. But then, again, just like the voice of John Sheeran of just like Lamar Jackson's a running back, obviously is a sarcastic way of saying that their rushing attack it will take a significant hit because he's fantastic, but they'll be okay.
Yeah, I think they will too. Let's move on to the
as much that hurts.
I know. I don't like.
I don't want them to be okay.
Steelers released 9 players. They released another player just a little bit before we took the air as well to get down to towards their 53-man roster. Tight end Marcus Baugh, running back Tony Brooks, James, cornerback Shakur Brown, defensive tackle TJ Carter, wide receiver Anthony Johnson, cornerback Lafayette Pitts, offensive guard Malcolm Pridgen, wide receiver Matthew Sexton, safety Lamont Wade. So no one in there that's a total shocker. And so, you know, I think those, they were not pegged, but they have been making moves already to, and here's the 10th player, by the way, this is going to be on Behind the Steel Curtain, the SB Nation Pittsburgh Steelers site. Jamar Watson, that was a little bit earlier today before we took the air here. Steelers continue to trim their roster, release linebacker Jamar Watson. So, again, not anyone that, Ian, that sits there, you sit there and go, wow, that guy, but, yeah. And they're making moves and maybe doing things early in terms of getting their roster set.
Yeah. When the announcement is that they are taking Mason Rudolph over Dewey Haskins, then, then you might see me, you know, poop myself a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah. I wonder what they're going to do there. Yeah. I wonder what the future is for Haskins. That's interesting situation there. I don't know.
He's got a stain on his history already, man. It's going to be an uphill battle forever.
One thing that I think a lot of people have knocks or gripes about with Ohio State is the lack of pro success for their quarterbacks. Obviously Haskins in that group as of so far. I know it's easy to say, well, it's present time here and now, so obviously Justin Fields is the most talented, has the best shot, but gut feeling, do you think he has the best shot? Was he the most talented when you looked at Cardale Jones and you looked at Dwayne Haskins and all these guys? Justin Fields, do you think he was the guy that has, or is the guy that has the best shot at being a successful Ohio State quarterback in the pros? Well,
the most successful former Ohio State quarterback that's going to be in the pros, Joe Burrow.
Well, there again.
No. I feel bad for Dwayne. I do, because I think that he flashed a lot of extremely raw talent, and that really captured this whole mystique about him that wasn't there yet. I'm not going to say that's going to be the same for Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields all around has a far better shot at surviving the NFL monster. I think Dwayne went in too young and he got drafted way too early, maybe a year or so early than he should have. And he got kind of swept up in it. Obviously there's the not so pleasant stories that came out, in his time in Washington, but it's a bummer because kid's got an arm. He's a raw talent and genuinely a nice guy, you know, a quiet dude, but he's a solid dude. And I don't not to be pessimistic, I don't see him lasting, you know, having huge NFL success. I think best case scenario for Dewey is a rock solid backup, a guy that can move the ball for you maybe sometimes if it's not an interception.
I will say this, if he has a shot to either resurrect his career or at least stabilize himself as a reliable backup, Pittsburgh's where he wants to be.
Yeah.
So, I agree. About as stable as you can get in terms of an organization. So I don't want to make this the Pittsburgh pat on the back show, but they run a,
it hurts.
I know it's the green eyed monster of envy is over here. My blue eyes are turning green over here, for God's sake, talking about the Steelers. But
right. Their time's done, bro.
And now here's the best part, Ian. We get to talk now about Baker Mayfield. Aren't you excited to talk about Baker Mayfield? And how
great? Oh, my God. Stop having a good preseason.
On ClevelandBrowns.com, an article by Anthony Poizel. Baker Mayfield believes, quote, our guys are ready after quick, efficient work in the final preseason games. They scored a touchdown in the two offensive drives in Sunday against Atlanta. Who'd have thunk it? But Cleveland has seemingly built a really good team. Now, I know last year is 1 year, and Cleveland has not been the epitome of, you know, long-term sustainable success, but they seem to be headed in a really good direction. And again, the AFC North looks loaded.
Oh my God. Yeah. Are you not absolutely, you know, champing at the bit, super excited to watch the shootout, you know, two times a year.
Yeah.
Between Baker and Joey. Like, I'm so stoked on that. I mean, Joey's rookie season, that both games, like, the, just pew, 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 the fireworks were there. And now, as much as it hurts to say, yeah, they got a team up there, man.
Yeah,
they do, and they look ready. But
go ahead.
Ohio's cursed, man. Baker can have all the confidence in the world, but then, you know, somebody blows out an Achilles. And
so that's where I'm going next, the Baker confidence thing. He is quickly, in my book, becoming the next villain in terms of Bengals' eyes. I think there's going to be a page being turned from Big Ben. You know, there are some other players in the division that you just go, oh, man, it's particularly in Pittsburgh. He is quickly becoming, not only because he has been uber successful against the Bengals, but he lets you know about it. He lets you know about his successes, and maybe there's going to be a fall from grace. I don't know. Maybe this team isn't going to be as good as a lot of people think they are, but to me, he's quickly becoming a villain, at least in my eyes, as a Bengals fan.
I see where you're at, but I think the silver lining I'm desperately trying to find before I, you know, raise my blood pressure any more than it already is, our guy can fire back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a if Baker goes here, Joey will be right there. Baker goes here, Joey will be right there. That's what I'm seeing for sure. So I won't see him as a villain. I just see him as a poster board material is the term.
Okay. Yep.
You know what I mean? Just to hang in the locker room and just be like, so this is what Baker says.
Right.
Right. You know, just having the spiritual equivalent of a Juju Smith-Schuster TikTok.
Yeah.
You know, sort of motivation of like, okay, Von Bell, please, bro, have a moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see if there is one like that. Hard to top a moment like that the Bengals were able to give Juju Smith-Schuster last year. This is a name, he's a Browns player, a name that if he does get cut or waived, some team may want to look at this, whether it's the Bengals or whoever. Dimitric Felton has done things as a kick returner, a punt returner, a running back, a wide receiver in the preseason, and is very, very versatile. He's kind of one of those roster bubble guys, according to Dogs by Nature, the SB Nation site that covers the Browns. I don't know if you know much about this guy or not, Ian, but he has apparently been pretty versatile. So as a guy, I just want to maybe put on Bengals fans on notice, whether he hits the waiver wire or makes the team and maybe gets out there. The Bengals have traditionally had trouble covering backs that come out of the backfield and can catch. Athletic tight ends are an issue annually with this team. So this may be a guy for one reason or another that Bengals fans need to get accustomed to.
Right. There's especially in recent years, there's a lot of guys, I don't want to say a lot, but there's more of them now than there were previously than I can remember of just extremely Swiss Army knife, just absolute killer athleticism.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not necessarily like a Taysom Hill, you know, where it's like, all right, we need you to be a quarterback. I need you to be a tight end. I need you to be a fullback. I need you to be the water boy. I need you to be over here.
Emergency punter. Like, all yeah.
Right, exactly. You know, but yeah, no, I don't have too much on this guy. I have quite a few buddies who are giant Browns fans. They've posted some things. It's just been a very minor thing on my radar. It's just like one of those things. It's I see it in my blurbs and just go, oh great, they have another great guy. Awesome. Let's keep scrolling.
Well, one of the talking points, this ties directly back into the Bengals in one form or another.
Full circle.
Another safety has been given a big contract extension, and the lack of one for Jesse Bates becomes concerning. Harrison Smith of the Vikings gets a big deal where he's getting paid $16 million a year annual average salary. So you've got Harrison Smith, a guy up there in age who gets a big contract as a safety. Jamal Adams gets the contract to be the highest paid safety in the league with Seattle after being traded there by the Jets. And then, of course, you had the one earlier this year to Justin Simmons, the outstanding safety with Denver. He signed another big contract. And these are all deals that undoubtedly Jesse Bates' camp is looking at as barometers, and the Bengals and he just do not seem to be on the same page in terms of a contract extension.
Dude, I'm about to go full Zim right now. Dude, every time I see anything about Jet, like, well, here's another guy who is getting his money. Sorry, mm-hmm. Jesse Bates. I'm like, my blood pressure, please. What are you guys doing? Obviously, we don't know the ins and outs, what it, you know, especially what goes on behind the scenes, what agents are saying. There's a whole lot of that world that I will never, ever even remotely comprehend. But, man, he's definitely shown his worth to be, if not the highest paid, one of the most highest paid safeties in the, at least in the past 15 years. He's been not only great on the field, he's been great off the field, total professional, great, solid dude in interviews. I mean, he's the total package. So if I swear to God, if they let this guy walk.
Yeah, I'd be pretty pissed off. This is a guy that he was pretty prominently shown in a lot of their marketing initiatives as kind of one of those cornerstone guys with a guy who got the extension, Sam Hubbard, Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, obviously Tyler Boyd, a guy who signed, I think, a couple of extensions to this point now, or at least one. And so, you mean they had these core guys that were all in these marketing initiatives, Jesse Bates being in there, and then it comes time to negotiate a contract, and it's like, oh wait, no. So, unfortunately, if this was a wide receiver, if this was a quarterback, possibly a tackle, the Bengals would have gotten this deal done. They value certain positions way heavier than others. And unfortunately, safety and guard fall way down the pecking order with this team. They paid Aloka a good contract a few years ago, but there wasn't a ton of guaranteed money with that one. I'd have to go back and look at the numbers, but I remember the guaranteed money was a bit lower, and then he didn't even see the full end of that deal. It's a position that the Bengals don't want to pay a ton of money to, even when they've got a guy who's all pro caliber, which is concerning.
Right. And obviously we know how Georgie ended up.
Yeah.
But the positive thing, you know, my therapist is telling me finding silver lining in things, cognitive restructure, we're in it.
Yeah.
It's on the radar. Clearly, like you, awesome point that he's been in literally like every new media campaign, especially with this new Elizabeth Blackburn era, really juicing up what we're doing as a Bengals organization. It's on the radar. I think at this point it's just probably something extremely minor, but obviously us fans are just like, what's happening?
Right.
But it might just be something that's really just like minor. It's like, oh, once we get this detail worked out, we have to wait and see this or what have you. There might be something that we're missing out and we'll never know. But we're going to catastrophize everything. We're Bengals fans. We're used to it. We're resilient that way.
Yep.
You know, but he'll get his money, whether it's by us or somewhere else.
Yeah, and the other thing is too is we have to understand that this is a business side of things, and you know, I kind of had the thought as you're thinking there, maybe it is something that's not overly major in terms of the issue, and I kind of went to the place of thinking like on the business side of things, the fact that Jesse Bates came out there, you know, after this report and was just kind of like, well, I guess I'm just not one of the best safeties in the league, kind of a little passive aggressive type of statement. And those are the things that are, whether or not they are close together or far apart or whatever we want to read into that, that's a negotiation tactic right there coming out.
Oh, with yeah, he knows what he's doing. He's a pro.
I mean, that you can, say whatever you want about the team or him or whatever, that comment. But I mean, whether they're close or far apart, to your point, we don't really know. Only people really inside that organization know how close that contract is to getting done. But a comment like that, yes, it does make us think maybe they aren't close at all. But it also could be just a negotiation piece just to say, hey, you know, hey, I'm the good guy here. I'm the guy who plays well on the field. They're not giving me the money I'm asking
for, right? Yeah. No, again, he knows what he's doing. It's clicks. He's getting clicks. They might be extremely close. They might be signing a deal as soon as, you know, far sooner than we think. But I think that was just like his agent kind of going, let's get some mileage out of this.
Yeah.
Get an extra mill or two. You know, just like, I guess I'm not as appreciated as I thought.
Right.
Extra $5 million.
Right.
Screw it. Get your money, dude. You've earned it. That dude, from Wake Forest? Wasn't
Yeah.
it?
Yep.
Yeah. Like, and to what he's transformed into, he's earned every cent.
He has.
So milk it.
And usually this is the time of year that the Bengals get these deals done for their core players. So still some time to get these done before the regular season here, but time's obviously ticking away here. We got a couple more, and then we're going to bounce on out of here. Thanks for staying long, Ian. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, dude.
The Saints are practicing in Dallas after Hurricane Ida hits New Orleans. Pretty nasty hurricane hitting the south there. The NFL is monitoring the home opener to see. Unfortunately, this almost seems like, I don't know. I feel like this is a common headline for New Orleans and just that area this time of year. They seem to get these hurricanes that come their way, and, you know, there's a lot of devastation, sometimes some deaths and all kinds of things like that. So obviously, good thoughts to everyone down in the South. If you listen to this show and you're in that area, please stay safe. But, the forces of nature taking their toll on New Orleans, and they are practicing in Dallas. And we'll see what happens with their opening week there.
It's heavy, man.
I see here some people are talking about some other cuts. Here's one prominent one. We talked about the Baltimore Ravens. I guess we could have tied this in there. The Lions cut wide receiver Breshad Perriman after guaranteeing $2 million on his contract. So he did not make it through final cuts. He had, I think, two drops in the finale. A guy who has been a former first-round pick and just an overall bust after spending time with the Ravens, the Browns, and now the Lions. And by the way, if you want to go look at the Lions wide receiver core, if you can't make that team after being a former first-round pick, even if you had troubles, there are some issues there. And I do think Breshad Perriman's dad, Brett Perriman, played for the Lions and had a couple of productive years with them. So there's a little familial ties there that just he couldn't get past it. So that's kind of a big name out there that got released so far.
Mm.
I don't know if you heard about these though either, Ian. This is going to kind of put a bow on this. This is on NFL.com, and this is one of those tracker articles, which is I always think they're super helpful. Now, depending on how up to date they update them, I don't know. Right. But there are some the latest news from Monday in terms of cuts. Quarterback Tim, this again, more Lions talk after the Perriman news, but Tim Boyle suffered a broken thumb. So David Blau, I don't know if you remember him, he played in some games there, and final five games of 19. That's right. So mm-hmm. He kind of had some good plays, some bad plays, but here are some other roster cuts here. Antonio Hamilton released by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Also releasing defensive tackle Kobe Smith, Buffalo Bills released running back Kareth White, wide receiver Brandon Powell, and cornerback Tim Harris. Here's one. There are a couple down here with the Lions and the Cardinals that are interesting to me. Tyrell Crosby, offensive tackle out of Detroit, and Arizona Cardinals releasing offensive lineman Shaq Calhoun. Calhoun played with the Bengals last year and wasn't very good. So and so now a lot of people are asking if he should come back or if they want to, you know, all kinds of different things. I don't know if you have thoughts on those two. Crosby's kind of interesting to me though.
I didn't know that. That is very interesting. However, no, I'm good on Shaq.
Me too.
I'm good.
Yeah.
But man, and also kind of what you mentioning earlier, just seeing Buffalo release another running back. I'm like, who do they have?
Yeah.
Like that running back room doesn't even exist. I'm like, there's some of these moves I'm seeing here. I'm like, oof. Okay.
Yeah, and there was another move I think that just occurred as well. I had heard on, again, the Herd this morning, they were talking about it with Andrew Whitworth. The Rams, maybe this occurred a while ago and it just slipped past me, but the Rams have picked up Sony Michel. He is going to be part of the Rams offense in the wake of the Cam Akers injury there. At least they were talking about that. I'll have to try and find an article to make sure that I heard that correctly. But that's
a solid move.
Yeah, it's an interesting move there. So a couple of moves. There's going to be plenty more tomorrow. The Bengals may announce their final roster and then make a waiver claim. I think they're going to probably add at least one player off waivers. I don't know if you have any thoughts about that, but that's kind of
it's
my
up in the air. It's and it, what makes sort of like this year specifically a little bit more exciting is like this is the first time in a while that this is a genuinely a Wild West open pasture. Like, I don't know. I mean, I especially looming into I'm going to be in like three fantasy leagues.
Yeah.
I'm regretting that decision already. But like just watching other preseason games and watching other, you know, just rosters, just having it on my radar. Dude, God, it sounds so cheesy, but like anything is literally possible. Like as far as what we do, as far as the Bengals end, I think on defense, I think if maybe a security blanket in the defensive back room, possibly, but like, I feel like that we're pretty confident in the direction we're going on a lot of things as far as who we have at this moment. So maybe, like you said, maybe one waiver wire guy, maybe. I'm just terrified and excited for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's going to be a complete 180 to what we're all projecting. You know, again, shout out to John Sheeran. He's the man. But again, kudos to him on even remotely taking a stab at it because I can't even fathom it. But that's cool. That's dope. Like being able to go into a season going like, we have a lot of talent, like genuinely, not like that forced, like we're doing great.
Right.
There's short flashes, right?
Yeah.
Right. There's genuine to every position. And even the offensive line, again, in Frank we trust. Yeah. That's been a huge thing on Twitter. We're trusting the process of Frank Pollock. I'm not overly concerned. If we're going to give very long story full round here, I don't see any big splashes here. I don't see any big waiver wire things happening. I think we're just going to go full bow in. It's like, all right, we're doing it.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll know quite a bit more by the time, you know, I don't think the Bengals are going to be obviously they're not because a lot of teams have already announced a lot of their cuts. So the Bengals are, unless some things have happened while we took the air here, I think they're going to probably wait out some time, kind of see what players are released out there to see what moves they want to make there. We will see any hot takes or any hot, I don't know what you would want to call it. Do you have any kind of bold predictions in terms of who may make it, who may not? I think just because of the weakness of the position group and what he has shown in the preseason, I think we all laughed kind of a little bit like, they added him. Of course, he's Burrow's buddy. I think Thad Moss played his way onto the team.
He definitely made a case.
Yeah. That's one I'm for a lot of reasons I'm really interested in, but if you've got a couple of players that you think will or won't make it that may surprise, I'd love to hear it.
That wide receiver room, dude. I mean, there's just been some plays. I mean, Trent Irwin, can we take a second here? he seems like to have kind of that Alex Erickson spirit to him. Because Alex Erickson, little guy, took some monster hits and held onto a ball.
Yeah.
I think there's at least two or three catches that Trent Irwin had in the preseason where he just – I was super surprised his head was still intact and that ball was in his hands. Like, he showed out, but, man, this defense also – I mean, there's no hot takes for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the people who've made their claim have made their claim, and I would – I mean, Hodge, Trayvon – like, they all fought, and they all look great. So, no hot takes, really. I mean, I'm going to have to walk back a hot take I had on Twitter.
Okay.
If we're having a vulnerable moment right now.
Okay. Does it revolve around Billy Price?
It does not revolve around Billy Price.
Okay. Okay.
It revolves around our wide receivers.
Okay.
I made the extremely bold claim because we're having a 17 game season now. There is potential for three receivers on our roster to break 1,000. I don't know what I was drinking that day. I don't know what swag I had in my step.
Yeah.
But these Jamar Chase dropsies, I think I have to walk that back. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. I also hear Zim somewhere screaming at me. You know, I'm not trusting the process right now, and I'm going to be proven wrong. And he's probably right. But yeah, I'm going to have to walk the hot take back right now. I'm not confident in it.
It's all right. We've all done that.
But prove me wrong, please.
I know.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah.
And I think, not a hot take, but I think CJ Uzama is going to have a solid year.
I do too. I do too. If he stays healthy, which has been a little bit of an issue in his career, if he stays healthy, I think he'll be a solid contributor to the team for sure.
If anything, post NFL, he's be a great commentator.
Yeah. Yeah. He's kind of sad this year. Yeah.
He is cracking me up. Like the Joe Mixon interview yesterday.
Yeah.
And Tyler Boyd and CJ just like posted up in the back.
Yeah.
When's the last time you saw our team have like a genuine, like, dude, are they friends? Are they like actual like dudes together?
Right.
Like that's the vibe, and I'm loving it and living for it.
Yep. I agree with you. And I mean, we saw a little bits, I think last year after the Steelers game, Mike Daniels was celebrating with some guys in the locker room and whatnot. But yeah, it's good to kind of see that stuff. You know, at this point in time. One more time, how can people support your band, check out your music and what you're doing, Ian? Because it's good stuff. And I, like I said, I really dug it and I wanted to promote it on this show. Yeah, and hopefully we can get you some more support there. You just released a new EP and a single today. So one more time, tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah. The single that we released today is called To Erase You. The actual full EP is not going to be out till September 10th, but obviously that is literally a stone's throw away. Getting that out of the way, obviously before the 12th, kickoff. But yeah, you can support us on all the social media platforms, at Holy Coast Band on all of them. All of the first three singles that we've released are literally available at all digital platforms. But what we're going to really be hitting here in the next couple weeks is emphasizing following our Bandcamp, and that's going to be holycoastband.bandcamp.com. We're going to be releasing the full EP there for sale if you guys want to help support what we're doing. Obviously with the pandemic, that whole thing, that's been a thing, that's still a thing. Being a musician has been extremely hard. Everybody in this band, I've been playing music for over 20 years. And obviously the landscape is still a question mark. So anything helps. And also just shout out to you for being the man and literally, and you and John, you know, just being absolute rock stars on this channel. Oh, thanks, man. Also the fact that you're having a just local Ohio musician doing his thing after having Anthony Munoz and Devin Still and his daughter Kenny Anderson. Like, I'm following these acts, dude. Come on.
Well, I mean, it's your music's top notch, man. I dig it. I wouldn't put you on here if I, we have entertaining back and forths on Twitter. So I knew you'd be good. You'd be good on air. We've already hearing from the live listeners. So I'm stoked on that. Stoked to support your band because, like I said, I wouldn't have, if I didn't really dig it. And, if I didn't think that you didn't support what we do, I wouldn't have offered. But I'm glad we were able to make it happen. Go check out Holy Coast Band on all of the platforms. Ian's band, they do good stuff. If you like alt rock, if you like rock, and or want to support a musician in Ohio that's putting out good stuff, please, please, please show some support. I know I will. So, Ian, what are your plans here? We're going to get out of here, but what are your plans here? How do you watch Bengal games? What are your plans? Do you go to some of the games? Are you planning to go to some this year? Or?
Yeah, I will be in Detroit with my guitar player of Holy Coast, Eric. He's the man. Okay. We're going to be up there. And we are debating right now of either Browns in Cincinnati or Browns in Cleveland because both have their plus and minuses. But that's probably what we're projecting right now.
Cool.
So obviously super stoked for that. Super excited for the season. Also, I would be in trouble if I didn't make this suggestion. There needs to be a OBI podcast after dark where it's, parental advisory in the corner and John Sheeran is just like four, White Claws deep, five White Claws deep, and we're just talking, smacking. I just picture you with a big just glass of scotch and us just lamenting. I think that would be great for some great content, just putting it out there. If all any of the fans listening right now are for that, I need to get some advocate here. So I'll start a hashtag right now, hashtag OBI after dark. Let's make it happen.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
We can do an in-person one now when you come to Cincinnati. Yeah. Buy you and John some drinks.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Those may get ugly, particularly after losses, man. I don't know.
But the content, Anthony. Right, the content.
Right. It's the content. Well, thanks a bunch, Ian. And we're hopeful that we can get you some support here
awesome.
For what you guys are doing. And if you ever have shows, I know things are up in the air on a lot of different fronts with
right.
things. If you get some things definitively booked in the Cincinnati area or just once you get a tour schedule set up, let us know and we'll promote that too. But
for sure, man. I appreciate it.
It was good chatting with you, man. And take care.
You too, buddy.
All right. That's going to do it for the Water Cooler Chat. A long one, but a really, really fun one with Ian Ryder of Holy Coast Band. Go check out their stuff. And hopefully you enjoyed this little episode. And a lot to talk about going forward this week as final roster cuts are around the bend. Take it easy, everybody. Ian, thanks, man.
Thanks, dude.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.